Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Monday, February 28th, Missions Monday, and as usual, I am reading from the New International Version. We are picking up in Genesis in chapter 43 and we'll be reading starting in verse 16 and we'll go through the end of the chapter. You'll remember that yesterday the brothers had headed back to Egypt and this time they have Benjamin with them. When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the steward of his house, "Take these men to my house, slaughter an animal, and prepare a meal. They are to eat with me at noon." The man did as Joseph told him and took the men to Joseph's house. Now the men were frightened when they were taken to his house. They thought, "We were brought here because of the silver that was put back into our sacks the first time. He wants to attack us and overpower us and seize us as slaves and take our donkeys." So they went up to Joseph's steward and spoke to him at the entrance to the house. "We beg your pardon, our lord," they said. "We came down here the first time to buy food, but at the place where we stopped for the night, we opened our sacks and each of us found his silver, the exact weight in the mouth of his sack. So we have brought it back with us. We have also brought additional silver with us to buy food. We don't know who put our silver in our sacks." "It's all right," he said. "Don't be afraid. Your God, the God of your father, has given you treasure in your sacks. I received your silver." Then he brought Simeon out to them. The steward took the men into Joseph's house, gave them water to wash their feet, and provided fodder for their donkeys. They prepared their gifts for Joseph's arrival at noon, because they had heard that they were to eat there. When Joseph came home, they presented to him the gifts they had brought into the house, and they bowed down before him to the ground. He asked them how they were, and then he said, "How is your aged father you told me about? Is he still living?" They replied, "Your servant, our father, is still alive and well." And they bowed down, prostrating themselves before him. As he looked about and saw his brother Benjamin, his own mother's son, he asked, "Is this your youngest brother, the one you told me about?" And he said, "God be gracious to you, my son." Deeply moved at the sight of his brother, Joseph hurried out and looked for a place to weep. He went into his private room and wept there. After he had washed his face, he came out and, controlling himself, said, "Serve the food." They served him by himself, the brothers by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because Egyptians could not eat with Hebrews, for that is detestable to Egyptians. The men had been seated before him in order of their ages, from the firstborn to the youngest. And they looked at each other in astonishment. When portions were served to them from Joseph's table, Benjamin's portion was 5 times as much as anyone else's. So they feasted and drank freely with him. Now let's move over to the Psalms. Today we're in Psalm 73, beginning in verse 16, and we'll go through the end of the psalm. But you may remember from the end of yesterday in the psalm, the psalmist is talking about his bitter feelings that it has been worthless to practice faithfulness. A lot of times in the Psalms, the question of how do evil men prosper comes up. And it's the same kind of idea here. But in today's portion of the psalm, the psalmist begins to process and to remember that God will vindicate. And in the end, God will be the one to destroy the enemies. Starting in verse 16. "When I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply, till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. Surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. They are like a dream when one awakes. When you arise, Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. This psalm is just such a good reminder to me that in times when I feel downcast or I do not understand the evils around me, that I need to draw near to the Lord. And verse 26 is such an encouragement. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And so today, Lord, we ask that you would strengthen our hearts, whatever we might face. Let's turn now to the book of John. Today in John, we're in chapter 10, and we'll read verse 1 through verse 21. If you have a Bible that has red letters in it, red letters signifying words of Jesus, you'll find lots of red in this passage. The title in my Bible says, "The Good Shepherd and His Sheep." Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture." The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. In the book of John, there are at least 7 I am statements that Jesus makes. We've already seen 4 of them. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. And we'll see 3 more. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the true vine. 2 things I want to note here. I am is the name of God in the Old Testament. Remember when God tells Moses to go to Pharaoh and Moses is like, who should I say sent me? What does God reply? I am who I am. And so when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, or I am the light of the world, or whatever image he is giving, he is hearkening back to the story in Exodus where God says, I am who I am. And then the descriptor also harkens back to the Old Testament, the bread of life. Remember the manna in the Old Testament. He's saying, I'm the fullest expression of God's provision for you. The light of the world. Darkness is portrayed as sin and evil. And Jesus says, I am the light. I bring illumination. I help you to see God most clearly. And then in today's text, the gate and the good shepherd, which reminds us of Psalm 23. And also it reminds us of the prophetic books that we've read just last year that were talking about the chief shepherds and how they never lived up to what God wanted them to do. Instead of looking out for the flock, they always were looking to their self-interest. And Jesus says here in this passage, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. Wish we could say a lot more about that, but we need to move into Missions Monday. Today, we are praying alongside our partners at Habitat for Humanity. I was really challenged by the story of the founders of Habitat for Humanity. So if you have a few minutes, Google that. The founders are Millard Fuller and Linda Fuller. There are some videos about the start of Habitat for Humanity. Basically, Millard was a self-made millionaire, and he decided to kind of give up some of his prowess as a businessman, or maybe use it for the kingdom of God. And he decided that he wanted to build an organization that would help people who have a low income have a house. And one of the images that he used was that of a flower that had been uprooted, and how when a flower is uprooted, even if you give it sunlight and water, but it's lying there on the sidewalk, it's gonna die. And he said the same is true with a family. It is so important to have somewhere to put down roots. And so a home is a place to put down those roots. And so let us pray alongside Habitat for Humanity today and those who are awaiting housing and also those who work on the projects. Father, thank you for this opportunity we have to be together in your word. Thank you that you are the good shepherd. Lord, would you lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake? We pray for Habitat for Humanity here locally and the organization globally. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to challenge our hearts to help us to see areas that need help, and like Millard and Linda Fuller, that we do something for your kingdom. We pray, Lord, that you would help this organization give homes to people who have low incomes so that their roots can grow deep, and also, Lord, so that your kingdom might come in their lives and they might experience joy and peace. We thank you, Lord, for your word again. We love you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.